Well, good morning. Good to see you all again, or at least to know you're there. And always happy to come and fellowship at Westview. Nice to have my granddaughter came in by surprise, Sarah. It's her birthday yesterday, by the way. And Sarah lives with her husband in Ottawa, and she takes care of the music in English and French in a church in the city. So she's a busy lady. Thank you for your prayers. We value them, especially for my beloved Audrey. We anticipate, as some of you know, making a move, and we're hoping to go to live in Luther Court, which is a Christian establishment belonging to the Lutheran Church, and I understand the care there is rather wonderful, and so I'm so glad to know that Audrey will be well looked after, and I'm sure we'll settle in. It's taken about 8 months since we put in our application, and the Island Health Authority has now invited us to come in. Well, now this morning, I want to share a few thoughts from the book of Isaiah. I know that you've been studying that book, and the passage today will be from what we call chapter 55. Now, when I was in my teens during World War II in England, I used to have a friend who was a bishop who came from India. I gather he must have been sort of trapped in England and couldn't go back because of the war to India. But he had a very interesting way of preaching. He would take stories from the Bible and explain that since the Bible is an Eastern book, people who come from the East understand it very clearly. And I remember he referred to this passage in Isaiah 55 and explained the sort of background. He said that when an important person had a birthday, instead of receiving presents, they would invite the community to come and enjoy gifts from them, and especially food and drink. And he would explain that that is the background of what's happening in Isaiah 55. So that, I think that's rather helpful. We see what's going on. Now, in Isaiah 55, which, by the way, in Hebrew is poetry, although there are lots of pictures that relate to things physical and material, we've got to sort of think about the spiritual meaning of these things. And so it's sort of figurative language, metaphorical, if you will. So let's think about these words and just sort of relax and listen to what Isaiah is saying on behalf of the Lord. And mostly from the King James Version, but I'll make a few changes to follow other texts. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters. He who has no money, come and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you waste your money on stuff that isn't really bread, and waste your wages on things that are not satisfying? Listen carefully to me. Come and eat what is good, and let your souls delight in fatness. Then we go down to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The Lord will have mercy upon him, and to our God who will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways higher than your ways. Listen carefully to me. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and doesn't go back there, but waters the earth and causes it to bud and to bring forth seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so shall my word be. It'll come forth from my mouth, and it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish my will, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And you will go forth with joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into singing. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Praise the Lord, that is his word. Interesting, isn't it? All those pictures that the prophet uses in his preaching. Now, as I read over this passage several times and thought about our service today, it seemed to me there are three things that are brought into focus. Number one, there is a gracious invitation. Notice all the words. Come, eat, drink, seek. And then there is a golden opportunity. And thirdly, there is a glorious promise. So those three things we'll talk about in the context of this chapter. Now, what the prophet is talking about is not coming and drinking H2O or food, as we think of it. But he is saying, come to me. Come to the Lord, that is. He's his spokesman. And feed your soul, your spirit. Enjoy things that will help you grow in your life. You know, we can get so easily obsessed with material and physical things. Strange, isn't it? You know, things like money and prestige, our reputation, our ambition. And we forget that the most important thing is our spiritual renewing, our spiritual life. As he says, let your soul rejoice in fatness. Fatness isn't altogether popular these days. But spiritual fatness, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He says, come. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. Why do you waste your money on stuff that will never satisfy you and will never make you a stronger Christian, if we can bring it up to date? And so here is the Lord offering blessing, offering salvation, offering to bring you into the very family of God as you trust in the Savior. What are you going to do about it? You know, when somebody issues an invitation, sometimes on the card it says RSVP, which of course is saying, let's know whether you're coming. Do you remember the story Jesus told about a wedding? And this man invited all kinds of his friends to come. When you're invited to a wedding, especially if there's going to be a good feed, you usually respond positively. Yes, looking forward to coming. Or a birthday party. But these people said, oh dear, sorry, I can't come. I bought a field and I better go and see what it's like. I bought a cow and I want to go and see if she produces milk, all sorts of stories. And you know what one guy said? I've married a wife and I can't come. Why in the world didn't he take his wife? I received an invitation years ago to go and take services in Africa. And when I received the invitation, I was single. It was 2 years ahead. In the meantime, I met Audrey. And eventually, of course, we were married. So I wrote to this group of elders in Africa and I said, listen, when I accepted your invitation, I was single. Now I'm married. They sent back a letter and they said, well, bring your wife. You see, if you're smart, you're going to accept God's invitation. You aren't going to come up with excuses, say, oh, well, you know, I do this, I do that, I do something else. So what? Okay, so there is this gracious invitation to all of us now to accept God's blessing. We've got to make a response. But number two, there is a golden opportunity. I don't know whether you've heard this funny story that there was a man who tuned pianos, and his name was Opera Nocati. I don't suppose there's anybody here with that name, Opera Nocati. Anyway, he went and tuned this lady's piano. And a couple of days later, she phoned up and she said, you've got to come back and do my piano. It really isn't in tune. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, madam, but Opera Nocati tunes only once. Get it? A golden opportunity. Anyway. You can ask me what it means later if you want. I wonder if that's what the Lord Jesus had in mind when he said, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you will trust in me, you can drink. You remember he said to the lady at the well that the water that he had would be like a spring of water. She was coming to get water from the well. And Jesus said, if you drink the water that I am offering, you'll never thirst. Hey, a golden opportunity. Seek. But what does it say? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Oh, yes. There comes a time, if you aren't careful, if you keep saying no to God's invitation, that there's no time to respond. No chance to accept the opportunity. You know, where I live, in a senior's home, there are all kinds of people, and I'm afraid it's too late because they don't understand how to respond. That's sad, isn't it? Don't leave it until you're too late. In Ecclesiastes, the end of the book, it says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Oh, yes. You can't play games with God. Opportunity comes. There's a saying, opportunity strikes only once. I understand that in Athens there used to be a statue. And this statue was running, you know, in an attitude of running fast. And there was no hair on the back of its head. And there were wings on its feet, ankles. What was the name of that statue? Opportunity. The Greeks had a very interesting way of portraying important truth. You see, once opportunity had gone by, you couldn't grab it. It was gone. I don't know whether this is your opportunity. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, who will abundantly pardon. God doesn't just say, oh, yes, I guess I can take you. He welcomes you. In Romans, this idea, it says that, you know, where sin abounds, like a wave of the sea, grace superabounds. The waves of grace are much bigger than the waves of our sin. Thank God. I used to live in Michigan, and Michigan is divided into two peninsulas, upper and lower. Upper Peninsula Bible Camp is, I think, still in operation. It's right beside the great Lake Superior. You know, I have a picture of my friend standing underneath one of these 12-foot waves that's frozen in ice. Can you imagine? Here he is. The great wave is over the top of him. Frozen, solid. That's what happens in that country in the winter sometimes. And that's what it is. God's wave is terrific. It overcomes our sin. What an opportunity we have. I wonder if this morning is your opportunity. There's a story of a man in the book of Acts, one of the great Roman leaders. And when Paul presented the gospel to him, he said, oh, well, on a more convenient day, I'll listen to you, sir. He didn't get a more convenient day. That was the one time he heard Paul. He heard the gospel. You've heard it maybe many times. Have you received it? I mean, you've been brought up in a Christian home. You've got Christian friends and so on. And perhaps you've even been baptized and, you know, gone through a lot of religious ceremonies, but you don't really know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I don't know. You know, he died on the cross to save us from our sin. This is the opportunity. And listen to the man in the story. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. I think the problem with a lot of people is they want to do something or be something. Be religious. Keep the Ten Commandments. Live up to the Sermon on the Mount. Go to church. I want to go to heaven. Yes, I'm going to get there on my own effort. Friend, you won't. It's not my effort. It's what Jesus did for me. And the gospel is free. Amazing. Free. It was very costly for the Lord Jesus. But it's free for us. A golden opportunity. Finally, the third thing we find in this little passage is a glorious promise. God says, as the word goes forth from my mouth, just like the rain comes down from heaven and the snow and doesn't go back, but waters the earth and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It will not return to me empty, void. It will accomplish my purpose. There's a very interesting connection between God's purpose and my freedom to accept the opportunity he gives me. It's like two parallel lines. God has a purpose, a plan. Maybe you're here as a part of that plan. It's interesting in life how you sort of get a sense sometimes that, yes, God wants me here. God wants me doing this. There's God's purpose and there's my freedom. Amazing. God's word is not spoken like some other fairy tale. And then it sort of drifts away and it's gone. God's word is effective in communicating life. It's the living word of God. I remember a story about a man who used to preach the gospel in the bull rings, it's called, in Birmingham, England. This day, he put his Bible down on the ground and he put his bowler hat on top of it. And then he sort of walked around it and he kept saying, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" Until he got a crowd of people wondering what was under the bowler hat. And they took it off and there was the Bible. Gave him the opportunity to preach. You see, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, pierces between the joints and the marrow. It's sort of suggesting it's like a surgeon's scalpel goes in to remove the problem and to heal. Yes, my word is alive, says God. Listen to it. Receive it. Don't close your ears. Open your mind, your heart, while you have the opportunity. Are you willing to do that? So just review it again. There's this gracious invitation. Come, seek, receive, enjoy. There's a golden opportunity. You know, in the New Testament, there's a story of Jesus visiting Jericho. Do you know how many times Jesus went to Jericho? Once. We never read of him going back. He realized, of course, the story of the background. I won't go into that now, but it was an evil city, built in defiance of God's will. I've been to Jericho. It's just a heap of rubble now. Jesus came to Jericho when there was a man who wanted to see him. You remember? A little man called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus knew he had a problem. And he didn't know how to solve it. And he believed that Jesus could help him. But his problem was there were so many people and he was short and he couldn't sort of, it says, he couldn't see above the press. That doesn't mean the media, by the way. So what did he do? Climbed up into a tree. And when Jesus came by, Jesus stopped and he said, "Hey, come down." As the chorus says, "I'm coming to your house for tea." Not sure about that. But anyway, Jesus went to his house. And do you know what he said? "Today, salvation has come to this house." Jericho had one opportunity. There were a couple of blind men there too who took their opportunity. Jesus came only once. Think about that. And then there is this glorious promise that God's word will be effective. And the poetry goes on to say that if you receive God's word, if you receive the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Those are two wonderful blessings. And even the mountains and the hills, this is poetic license, of course, will break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Encore. Of course, those are kind of pictures. It means there's just satisfaction. There's just forgiveness. There's just peace. You realize that, hey, my problems spiritually are resolved. I know the Savior. My sins are forgiven. I have a destiny, a future, a home. And I'm saved from my sin. Well, it's a wonderful little passage of scripture. Isaiah 55. If you're thirsty, come and drink. If you're hungry, come and get some good food. And it's spiritual life that will result in joy and peace. Well, let's take a moment to pray, shall we? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, think about some of these things, and realize how wonderful it is that you can know your sins forgiven and the Jesus Christ as your own very personal Savior. If you'd like to respond to that story, and invite the Savior into your life today, why don't you do it just now while we pray? Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I have failed. And I want you to forgive me. You died on the cross to pay the price of my redemption. That is, release from slavery. So, Lord, we say thank you to you for your goodness and mercy toward us, and we're so glad to know that if we come to you, if we turn to you, you not only just forgive us, but you graciously, boundlessly pour your salvation blessings upon us. Oh, how wonderful it would be if someone here this morning actually invited the Savior into their life and enjoyed the joy and peace and the sense of sort of release and companionship that comes in knowing the Lord Jesus. We just say thank you for all your blessings. You are such a generous, wonderful God. Gave us your very best in the Lord Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. And if I can be of any help to you in coming to know the Savior, I'd love to talk to you or pray with you if you really sort of have a sense that God is talking to you. Sometimes people sing a little song. If it's a birthday in the congregation, happy birthday to you, and so on, and it says, happy birthday to you, only one will not do. How many birthdays have you had? I've had a few. And God has blessed me. And he'll bless you. Thank you.